The Steve Gruber Show. American values with Midwestern common sense. Let's make a day.
Scott Bertram filling in for Steve here on the Steve Gruber Show. Wednesday morning, thanks for being here. Joined by Dr. Herb London, president of the London Center for Policy Research, senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute, and co-author of the new book, The Encyclopedia of Militant Islam. And you can find out more at londoncenter.org, bio, where he serves as president. Dr. London, good morning. Welcome to the Steve Gruber Show.
Well, thank you very much. Pleasure to be with you.
I know North Korea was already on our agenda. There's a piece from the Post this past week. North Korea can show it's ready for negotiations by stopping missile launches, Rex Tillerson says. That has changed very much here in the past 24 hours or so with news that the U.S. believes that North Korea has successfully produced a miniaturized nuclear warhead that can fit inside its missiles. Donald Trump's statement, President Trump's statement yesterday, of course. How quickly has this North Korea situation turned in just a day?
Well, it didn't just turn in a day. It turned over the last two tests. Our intelligence community now knows that North Korea has the capability of reaching the United States, certainly reaching Guam, certainly reaching Hawaii, and so the threat is very real. Up until this point, I think most presidents believed, at least in the last 25 years, that we could kick the can down the road because the North Koreans would not possess the technical capability of being able to miniaturize a nuclear weapon on an ICBM. We now know that that is possible, and so the technical capability clearly exists, the motives clearly exist, and so the threat is very real. The United States at this point has to do something. Trump is in a very different position from Obama. Obama just kept ignoring this, saying, don't worry, we can maintain strategic patience. We can no longer maintain strategic patience when the threat about the attack on Guam is very real.
Rex Tillerson, literally moments ago, reaffirming his message to North Korea, quote, we do not seek to be a threat to them, but will respond to their serious threats. And as you mentioned, that includes the Guam threats, that includes the information that intelligence officials have been picking up on. What do you think an appropriate response to these threats would be?
Well, the last and the worst option, of course, is the military option. That, however, cannot be taken off the table. The United States may have to respond militarily. But before we do that, we've got to put additional pressure on China. There is no question, after the UN resolution suggesting that there should be sanctions applied against North Korea and accepted by China, however the watered down the resolution was, there is no doubt that the pressure on the Chinese is essential. That's the one country that has leverage over North Korea, in part because 90% of all of the food and fuel that goes into North Korea comes from China. So the Chinese do have some leverage. If they want to turn off the spigot, they can do so. They can virtually paralyze North Korea. The United States understands that. We've been attempting to use the Chinese in this manner, but they haven't been cooperative. The Chinese like the idea of having a North Korea that they can pull out of a cage as a beast in order to challenge any hegemonic challenges in the Pacific Basin. And so the United States has to understand that we have to apply enough pressure so that the advantages of a Chinese allied with North Korea is less significant than the disadvantage associated with that alliance.
Dr. Herb London with us, President, London Center for Policy Research, londoncenter.org for more info. Also, co-author of the new book, The Encyclopedia of Militant Islam. The U.S. has tens of thousands of U.S. forces in both Japan and Korea. There's a lot of talk, of course, about the ICBMs and reaching the U.S. mainland, but the fact is North Korea, if it wanted, could reach those troops more quickly, perhaps with little to no warning at all. How much is that fact?
You raise an interesting point. We have 28,000 American troops in South Korea as a tripwire. We have 12,000 troops in Guam. The United States has troops in that area that are in harm's way. There is no doubt that if there was just an artillery attack, forget about using ICBMs or missiles, there is no doubt that a lot of damage can occur. There is nothing in North Korea. The North Koreans have nothing at all. It's a dark, dank nation. As looked at from a satellite, you see nothing but darkness, as opposed to South Korea, where you get the lights on all the time. You want an ice cream cone in Pyongyang, you're going to be hard-pressed to find one. And you go to Seoul, you get one in 28 different flavors. So there's no difference. I mean, there's a dramatic difference between the two countries. Now the question is, can the United States apply enough pressure on North Korea so that they decide to do something very different about their nuclear weapons? They may not give them up, but at the very least, you want protocols, understanding of the command, the communication system associated with their nuclear weapons. Protocols have to be established. If they are established, at the very least, we start to understand what the North Koreans possess, what capabilities they have, and what measures we have to take in order to counteract.
Dr. Herb London with us here on the Steve Gruber Show. Scott Bertram in for Steve. Kim Jong-un assumed office just a little more than a year ago, I guess. Do we have a good handle, do you think, yet on exactly the way he will react to these kind of negotiations, this brinksmanship, so to speak?
Well, you again raise a very interesting question. Copy that you have with a Kim Jong-un is that he is entirely unpredictable. He is erratic. He has learned from his grandfather and his father the extortion racket. You fire missiles, and the West responds by giving you food and fuel and money, and so that's the game that he's playing. He understands that very well. Can he be controlled? That remains to be seen. When one talks about deterrence, which of course is what we're discussing here, when one discusses the deterrence, you assume that there's some rationality on both sides of the negotiating table. In 1962, the United States and Russia obviously came to a face down. We were right at the brink. But at the same time, the United States understood that if we give up our missiles in Turkey, the Russians would give up their missiles in Cuba. And that's exactly the deal that was consummated. This is very different because you're dealing with someone who may not be entirely rational. If you're dealing with someone who is irrational, you do not know what he is going to do. Is he willing to lose 10 million, 20 million of his population? Mm-hmm. Perhaps. Again, the deterrence doesn't necessarily apply here because we're not dealing with rational judgment.
Dr. Herb London, great insight. Very much appreciate the time this morning. You can find out more at londoncenter.org, where he is the president. Dr. Herb London, thanks for joining the Steve Gruber Show.
Well, thank you for the questions. I appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Steve Gruber Show, Wednesday mornings.